what we're going to do this morning. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are deeply thankful that we have a place that we can freely come and worship you. Lord, we think of people in countries whereby they have to go quietly. They have to go two by two. They have to make sure they leave at different times, lest they should arouse suspicion. Lord, we think of our brethren in different countries of the world whereby their location is openly known. It's only your grace that is stopping the authorities from taking them. Lord, we ask for your protection for every brethren, Lord, that has to risk their lives, Father, to go to a place of worship, a place where they will want to gather with God's people in prayer, because they know that coming together, Lord, is in obedience to your word, but more than anything, they're looking forward to your visitation, the touching of their hearts by your precious word as the word is being preached. Oh God, help us never to take for granted what you have given us in Singapore. We know, Lord, that even in the papers, we see just this week, Father, things are slowly changing, Lord, with regards to different policies. And Lord, we are asking you to help us as a Christian people to know your word well, that we might be able to stand the test. And we pray especially for young people, Lord, that they would be able to have the word of God embedded in their hearts, that they will be able to stand the test, Lord, as it comes. I pray today as we open your word, you speak to us in a special way as we want to be a seek the Lord first assembly. And Lord, I am asking you to give us wisdom to understand the steps, the processes, so that we will be able to live by your word, according to your word. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bring the others quickly in. And I ask, Lord, that we will be able to have a heart dedicated, Lord, to learning your will and doing it. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, I'm glad everyone is here. And what we're going to do is actually, I haven't forgotten the AMD idea. Whole week thinking through the whole thing after I share with you. But I want to actually go through what we're supposed to go through first. At the end, we just have a quick roundup of the AMD. Remember the AMD, the Advanced Medical Directive? Well, I think there is clear biblical instruction that I'd like to share as well, and how we need to think through. I think the most important thing in the AMD one, just quickly, is actually how we think through the whole thing. And I was toying whether or not we should go through in detail, but I think it's important because I want the young people especially. All right, because as we grow up, we have never been taught how to think biblically and how to then make decisions that we know, taking the pros and the cons and everything, putting together, and then finally come up with a decision that you need to make. All right, so I'd like to go through that afterwards. But now we'll just keep going with the assembly first. If does anyone have everyone last week's one? Okay, there's some extras if you need. Yeah, does anyone have? Please help yourself if... All right, that was last week's one. We talked about making secular decision, but this week we're going to just move on in seeking the Lord in our service first. All right, then after that we'll come back and deal with the questions on the Advanced Medical Directive, which is an important one, although it will be limited probably mainly to healthcare professionals. But hopefully the learning points can be generalized to other areas as well. Okay. Okay, we're moving on to seek the Lord first, seeking the Lord first in our service. And this is a very important thing. Many people ask, Brother Johnny, where should I serve? Okay, you don't serve me, you serve the Lord, okay? But where should I serve? I can tell you the whole string of things we can do, the thousands of things, literally, that we can do. If everyone just put their hands on the plow, things will be much, much easier. Caring for people, getting things done, preparing for the new place. And we're just setting up outside and saying we need to start making an inventory of things we have, okay, before we actually move. Those things to throw, those things to keep. Some things we kind of, some things we can sell, some things we can give to the poor. We need an inventory of that already. The time is soon and we'll probably have to do that, okay? So it's better to do early than everything one time rush everything, okay? It sounds like not very good English. You know what I mean. Seeking the Lord first in our service, what I want to do is actually to begin by having people read some verses, okay? And then after that, we'll just go through the general principles, all right? Okay, we'll have Edward, if you can turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, okay? And then in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, Jacob. Then there's a couple of verses. One in John chapter 4, verse 27 to 29, we can have, oh sorry, Acts chapter 9, verse 6, we have Timothy Toriano, Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and then if our brother June, you can take Acts chapter 9, verse 19 and 20, okay? And then if Sister Son, you can turn 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, okay? So just read it loud and clear. In this set of verses, what I want to do is actually for us to listen to what the people in the Bible did, okay, of how they sought the Lord for service. Okay, after that, then we try to amid all the earthquake and the commotion, try to concentrate, all right? Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, loud and clear, all right, so everyone can hear. Okay, she arose and ministered unto them after she was healed of her fever. The next one in Luke chapter 19, verse 8.
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.
Okay, there was Zacchaeus' comments, Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Verse 19 to 20.
19 to 20. Many of them also, which used curious hearts, brought their books together and burned them before all men.
Acts chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. Sorry, I think it went to 19 and verse 20. And that's a good verse, actually, also. But Acts chapter 9, verse 19 to 20.
And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was so certain day with the disciples, which were at the mount.
Okay, in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9.
For they themselves shook off us what manner of entering in we had unto, and how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
Okay, now just think through, in Mark chapter 8 verse 14, Peter's mother-in-law was healed of fever, and immediately he rose and served them. Okay, in Luke chapter 19 verse 8, Zacchaeus had Jesus come to the house, and then Zacchaeus make a public proclamation. What did he say? He said, "Well, Lord, if I'll give half of my belongings to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I'll restore unto them fourfold." Okay. Then in Acts chapter 9 verse 6, immediately when Paul saw the Lord, first thing he said, "What did he say? Lord, what would thou have me to do?" In Acts chapter 9 verse 19 to 20, if you read from verse 6 to verse 19, there is no indication. That the Lord actually told Paul what he's supposed to do. But what Paul did was immediately he went to preach that Jesus is the Christ. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, Paul was just mentioning to the Thessalonians how you show how God's word came to you and how you left idols to serve the living God. Okay. Now what's this general principle in these various verses that brings up? What comes to your mind? Anyone? When a person was touched by the Lord, what happens immediately after? When a person receives the Lord, what happens after? Think about your own situation. When you first trusted the Lord, what was the immediate thing after that you wanted to do? Sorry? Again?
Surrender.
Okay, so after you receive the Lord, you surrender. What else? More practically, well, surrender is a practical thing. But what happened when you first trusted the Lord? Can you remember? I hope you can remember a time that you first trusted the Lord. Otherwise, we need to sit down and talk. I don't remember. Is it like, generally, it's like your heart was more moved towards being with God's people? You wanted to go to church a bit more? You wanted to do something, get involved? Does it make sense? I don't know. Is that people's experience? I hope so. Because it's a genuine salvation experience. Okay? And that is consistent with the trend of Scripture whereby everyone who was touched by the Lord or when they received Christ, they immediately want to do something. Okay? Now, general principle in seeking the Lord in our service, Christians touched by the Lord, self-starts in our service to Christ. Self-starts. In other words, you do not need anyone to tell you what to do. Because why? Your love for Christ is overwhelming, overflowing, that you want to do something for Him. Kind of like if someone do something nice for you, immediately you want to do something nice back, right? It's a natural response. And you know, this is a very important principle of Scripture, that every Christian ought not to need someone to tell him what to do. He will say, well, Lord, I'll just do something for you because I need to give something back in my service to you because of all that you've done for me. Let's look at Matthew 4 and verse 10. Matthew 4 verse 10. I try to go through it quickly because I'm just allocating 10 minutes for that. Really, 10 minutes up. Okay, Matthew 4 and verse 10. The Bible says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And Jesus is very clear. You worship God, and your worship to God is related to your service. When you say we worship God, there must be active service. And this is a very important principle of Scripture. I'll touch on it during the service. Okay? When we have a heart for worship of God, he always ushers out in active service to Christ. There is a biblical trend in the Scripture. Okay, one general principle that we start off with when we seek the Lord in our service, number one, we need to understand when we are saved, we self-initiate in our service. Okay? The place of the service that God has ordained is in the local church. In the local church. Let's turn to a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Let's look at them. Maybe we'll get people to read so that we can go a bit faster. Maybe Sister Allison, you can turn to 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. Then all of us turn to Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. Okay? The place of service that God has ordained, appointed, is in the local church. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, loud and clear. Okay, the church is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. When I studied this passage a few years back, we're talking about how in the Old Testament, God appointed a place where his sacrifices will be brought to. You realize there's only one place that God has appointed in the Old Testament where all sacrifices must be brought to, and that's to the temple at Jerusalem. There's no other place. When Jeroboam started another place at Bethel, that was in rebellion against what God has intended. And that's why you find that in the northern kingdom, God never visited them in terms of a revival, because they were rejecting what God had wanted to do. So in the New Testament, there is a very close parallel, because what God has instituted in the New Testament was the local church. Okay? And, you know, for the many years, people have been asking me, what about parachurches and all that? Are they ordained by God? You know, the longer I become a Christian, the more closely you stay close to the Bible, there's no other plan that God has in this New Testament age except the local church. And the reason why the parachurches came out was because the local church were not fulfilling their duties well enough. And so the parachurches came out to kind of fill that need. But over time, like the Salvation Army, do you realize they actually have their own services now? Okay? That's not God's will. That's not God's will. All right, I'm sure many of them are sincere and faithful, but that's not the will of God, if you look. All right, and I can be kicked because people say, Brother Johnny, don't be so narrow-minded. But if you look at the Scriptures, there's just no other plan other than the local church. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I think we're all there. Ephesians 4, you recognize that the apostolic doctrine is God says, in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the assembly of Christ. All right? The goal of the gifts was never for a parachurch. It was for a local ecclesia, a local church. Okay? So God is very clear in the working and teaching and the ministry and the service, the place that God appointed is in the local church. Okay? In the local church. And we need to be involved because that's God's will. We need to be very clear on that. All right? So the place of service that God has ordained is in the local church. The pattern of Scripture is always in the local church. The whole entire New Testament, from Romans all the way to the book of Jude, was always admonishing the local church. God has no other plan. Okay, and when people start to move away from that, get this, we move away from the plan of God. Okay, any questions? Any questions? Please feel free to jot down, all right? Okay, the next place, and the next one, let's turn to Exodus 25, verse 1 to 11. Exodus 25, verse 1 to 11. I'll just read this passage. I won't read the whole thing. I think probably will read the whole thing. But Exodus 25, verse 1 to 11, let's just listen to what God says, okay? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Even in the Old Testament, every offering to God is a willing offering. Some people say, no, the Old Testament of Mosaic Law. God said it, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. He shall take my offering. Okay, if someone comes and give an offering willingly, take it. That's why people who come, sometimes they will buy things for the church and say, please claim. And they say, no, it's okay, pastor, we just give. No, then I'll just accept it because why? That's what God says. And God will bless that individual. Okay, now in verse 3, interesting, after God says that the mentality today is I'm giving to God. But notice in Exodus 25, God actually spells out the offering. It's what I need. Not what you think God needs. Does it make sense? I say it again, because it's very important today. People say, hey, what can I serve in this area? There's no problem, but God has a direction. God has a need. And our goal as a Christian is to go in that direction. Does it make sense? Because God said to the people, and this is the offering which he shall take of them. In other words, God says, take a willing offering, but I'm going to tell you what you need to give. It goes against today's mentality whereby, you know, I just want to serve in my niche. No, God says, you serve and you give in the area that I appoint you to. That's the principle. That's why in the New Testament, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. When God actually specifies certain areas of service, evangelism, and all that, we are supposed to be there. We should contribute to that process within the local church. Okay? In verse 3, and this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram's hair, dyed red, badger skin, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing, oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary. Everyone who wants to give, let's give because I have a plan. I want to make a sanctuary so that I can be among you guys. I want you to contribute. Guess what? You got incense, bring. You got oil, bring. You got shittim wood, bring. You got whatever you have, okay? Guess where did all these things came from? Come from? Where did all these things come from? Huh? Comes from God, but where did it come from? Scripture interprets scripture. Where did it come from? From the what? From Pharaoh's house? Okay. It's interesting. I think you probably remember your FBI. Remember when the Israelites were working for the Egyptians for 400 years. Okay? Then after when they left, what did the Israelites do? They looted, literally, Egyptians. Take what you need and go. Get lost, you know. But you know what? Apparently in the Hebrew, what they literally did was the Hebrews were paid by the Egyptians on the night when they left 430 years wages. God took back from them everything that the Hebrews were supposed to have. And you know why God has a purpose? Because he wants them to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. You know what that tells us? And God wants us to serve him. He will provide the needs. He will provide the strength. He will provide what we need to serve. So sometimes you say, well, we cannot say no. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Okay, that's an encouragement. But the point here is, we seek the Lord on his terms. We seek to serve the Lord on his terms. So pastor, I cannot say, God, I just want to do this. Initially, I thought as an evangelist, very simple, I just preach. Yeah? Then I realized I got to do budget as well. Then I realized I got to do chart direction. Then I realized I got to do this, I got to do that. I got to make sure this process. It's part and parcel of the whole thing. It's a shepherding. I was just going through last night. I said, Lord, how do you want me to shepherd? Then I was thinking, wow, I got 12 different things. Eh? But you know what? It's part and parcel of God's calling. We serve God on his terms. Now, Christianity is so important because as a servant, as a soldier of Christ, our master gives the direction. And when we seek the Lord in service, we must be clear in our minds. It is our Heavenly Father, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, our master commander, who gives us the instruction, and we move by His will and His word. Okay? So in seeking God for service, we must have this situation in our hearts. We seek to serve God on His terms. Okay? And let's turn to Luke 16:10. Stop me, all right, if there's any question. No question will be ignored. Luke 16:10. The key is in this Sunday Bible hour, we all learn and make sure we have a oneness of spirit as we move forward to serve God. Luke 16, verse 10 to 12. Maybe the men will read 10, and then the ladies will read verse 11, they will all read verse 12 together. Okay, ready? The men start first. Ready? 1, 2, go. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Ladies? Okay, verse 12 together. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? In this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us the principle of faithfulness in small things. And this faithfulness to small things, interestingly, is actually when we are faithful to the duties that God has given to us in this world. Because it's talking about being managers of someone else's business. If you cannot be faithful in what we're supposed to do, the students are listening, if you cannot be faithful in your homework, which is what someone else has given to you, God says, I can't give you a ministry of your own. That's what literally it means. If you cannot be faithful to the little things that God has given us as part and parcel of our duties, God says, I cannot give you a ministry that belongs to you, that you can call your own, that I've given to you. Okay, teenagers, as you grow up, God has a will for you. But right now, the will of God for you, based on God's will, is to be faithful in the little things. In the little things of life. I'll just be practical. Right? Doing housework. If you're appointed by your mom or dad, do it with your heart. Do it with all of your heart. Because God says, if you can be faithful in there, then you can be faithful in the bigger things. You know how Joshua became a great commander? You realize Joshua's name was only mentioned one time, when he was fighting the Amalekites in Exodus 15. Other than that, he was only mentioned on and off without any big reference to him. You know what Joshua doing? All he was doing is just follow Moses. Just follow Moses. Moses tell him, do this, he do this. Do that, to do that. And when Moses left, what did God tell Joshua? Moses, my servant, is dead. You now arise and you go. Why? Because you have been through everything. You know you were a military commander. You know how Moses did the job. You know how Moses followed me in his way. You know all this. I will be with you. Just go and do. Does that make sense? Okay, we need to be faithful in the little things. And so the point here is, we need to begin our life of service to the Lord by being faithful in the little things. We need to be faithful in the basics before God can show us the specifics. I've taught this 10 years ago. It is still the same. God hasn't changed. If we cannot be faithful in the basic things of the Christian life, God just cannot show us the specific things of our lives. If you're seeking God's will for your career, if you're seeking God's will for your life partner, if you're seeking God's will for your service or ministry, you're serving God where God wants you to go, be faithful in the small things. Because unless you're faithful in small things, God spiritually cannot speak to you regarding the big things. Okay? And I think a very good parallel is at work. If in workplace, your boss saying, I cannot trust him in the small things, no way the boss is going to tell you when there's a big project coming. Why? Because faithfulness, it's not about being personal. It's just about how we are. And you know, sometimes we may just have to look at ourselves. Lord, have I been faithful? In seeking the Lord in service, we need to be faithful to the little things. So it was always an encouragement when things are set up in church and things are done properly. And this part and parcel, when families are governed according, you have prayer time, you have coming together, reading the Bible, being disciplined, and all that. Those are the small things. We all have to work at things, amen? We all have to be faithful, including myself. We all are in it. But with continuously teenagers, as you grow up, it is very tempting to say, I don't like to do that. Can I do that? I'd like to challenge the teenagers of our church to force yourself to do the small things, even when you don't like it. You're not being a hypocrite. You're overcoming the flesh. You're living by what you should do. And that is very, very important. Okay? So that's something that... Any questions? Okay, we need to be willing to do the small things only when we are faithful in the basics. You know, sometimes when I ask, well, what would you like to do with your life? You know, one of the things that crossed my mind, have you been faithful to the basics? That's what God has been showing you. And if you are, you have no problem finding the specifics in God's love. Because many times, even think about this, if we've always been doing things our way, when we find God's will, do you think that we allow God's will to take over? No. Why? Because you have a trend in your impression and thinking, always my way, my way, my way. Still, God, I want your will. But you know what? In midst of that, it may still be our own will. Okay? So we need to be careful because we're seeking the Lord in service. The next one is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13 and 14. We need to begin our life of service because we love Him. I think that's pretty straightforward. We love Him because He first loved us. Okay? And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13 and 14, I use the verse all the time. It's not my life verse, but it's a close second. It's a very close second. Okay? Because God says, from now on, I've saved you. You should henceforth not live for yourself, but you should live for Him who died for you and rose again. Any questions in seeking the Lord for service? Okay, in heart prep, the next one is heart preparation. How do we prepare our heart to serve the Lord? Okay, let's turn to a few verses. Maybe we'll get Leandra, if you can turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Joanna, Luke 17:10. Then... Desmond, can you please? Mark 16:15. Sister Jamie, Ephesians 4:12. And then Lydia, can you turn to Ephesians 2:10? I'm just going that way, right? Yeah, okay. And if Brother Joshua, if you can turn to Matthew 26 and 39. Sister Shaoling, John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. And Brother Daelong, if you can look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. All right, heart preparation. We read through. I'll give you the points so that if there's anything, please stop me, okay? Okay, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Okay, Luke 17, verse 10. Okay, realize that God wants us to learn to serve. Serve. It is God's will that Christians serve. Because that's what God says. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many. If our Master is a servant, what more His disciples? Amen? And if our Master was willing to do anything, what more His disciples? Alright? And the next one in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Okay, Ephesians 4 and verse 12.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Ephesians 2 verse 10.
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk.
Realize that God has already given us our duties. Oh, Christian, please. God has given us our duties. He has very clearly. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a duty of every Christian. Go ye is in the plural. Go ye, not just to the disciples, to the church. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. For the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4 verse 12, we need to be involved in the work of the ministry. Ephesians 2:10, for ye are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, one of the things, every Christian ought to have good works in their lives. Whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's something that you do for someone else, whether it's visiting the poor, whether it's helping someone in need. Every Christian's life today ought to be characterized by good works because that's our duty. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, okay, this. Matthew 25, verse 14 to Matthew 25. verse 14 to 16. Let me just read there. And I know we all know this passage. It's talking about God, Christ going back to his kingdom. And then before he went, he actually gave us our duties. Verse 14 in verse chapter 25, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, referring to Lord Jesus going back to heaven, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. We all have abilities, amen? We all are able to do something as a servant of God for him. And God says, I've distributed my goods to all my people, okay? And guess what he says? And after he straightway took the journey, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. Notice he immediately just took it and went to do his job. That was an immediate thing. We have all been given our, realize we have been given our duties. And my heart is for us to just obey God plainly in what God has shown us. And that's what Jesus' heart is. Just doing what God says to do. Okay? Whether it's to love, it's to forgive. You know, one of the things I find that, you will find that some of the things is quite repetitive because the message of the message. But of course, they're using different. I believe God is trying to impress on us to have an obedient heart, which I'll touch on during the service. But God just wants us to realize that he has given us his duties. Agree? Do you agree that God has given us his duties? If you are Bible believers, it's plainly stated in Scripture, believe and be baptized, every one of you. Okay, that is just an instruction from the Lord. Okay, the next one, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. The next point is our heart preparation is realize God wants us to serve, realize we have our duties already, and realize we are to submit our will to him. It's not what I want, but what Christ wants. It's a very important principle of a servant. Every Filipino, Indonesian, Sri Lankan helper that comes in Singapore knows they're supposed to just do what the master tells them. Yes? Wake up at what time? 4:30 means 4:30. No 6 o'clock, yes? All right, they're supposed to take care of the children. You're not supposed to do the housework as separate. There are some, I think, designated helpers just to take care of children according to the owner's wishes, right? If I take care of children, means I take care of children, okay? If you're supposed to clean up, I'm supposed to clean up, all right? So that's what God wants us to have as a servant of Christ, as we seek to serve him. That's what Jesus sets as examples for us. In John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5.
John chapter 13, verse 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded.
What was Jesus going to do? Wash the disciples' feet, right? Okay. What was Jesus taking on? A robe of a? It wasn't just a role of a servant. It was a role of a slave. It wasn't just a slave. It was a bond slave. A bond slave is someone that has no rights. No rights whatsoever. Okay? And he was doing the lowest of the lowest, washing someone's feet. You know what principle we learn from there? As our heart preparation in seeking the Lord to serve him, we must be prepared to do the lowest tasks for the glory of God. Lowest tasks. And I pray by God's grace that all of us will be willing to do the lowest tasks. Because this is the principle of Scripture. Because our Savior, who is our servant as well, showed us by His example, that we should be willing to say, look, I'll do the lowest task for my brother if it needs be. So there's nothing, it's okay for me to cook, it's okay for me to wash dishes for the glory of God. If I can wash dishes and someone else be free to do something, fine, I'll do that. I'll wash the toilet, whatever, Lord, for your glory. Okay? Some people say, God, I'll do anything for you, but don't send me to Africa. That's a catch cry in America during the times in the U.S. Lord, I'm willing to do anything. I give my money, my tithe, just don't send me to Africa. I hear there's snakes and adders and gorillas and all that. I don't want to be that God. You know, God wants our heart. We need to be willing to do the lowest tasks. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. in heart preparation to seek to serve the Lord, we are to be obedient to whatsoever God calls, tells us to do, no matter what the cost is. Heart preparation. Okay, these are just clear teaching from Scripture, clear patterns from Scripture, clear principles from Scripture. As we prepare our heart as a church to seek the Lord, to serve Him, these are what the Lord is teaching us, all right, in the New Testament. Any questions? Any questions? We need to be willing to obey the Lord, okay? Now, seeking the Lord in the specifics of service. Now, we've talked about general principles, we talked about heart preparation, but now we're going to the specifics. How do we seek the Lord in specifics of service? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Maybe we'll have Sister Elizabeth, if you can turn there, sorry. 1 Timothy 3, verse 10. Then we'll all turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Okay? Isaiah, 1 Timothy 3:10. I hope it's the right one. Please stop me, all right, if there's anything you're not sure, not clear. 1 Timothy 3:10. Okay, so in this situation, there is a specifics of service whereby a person is to be elected a deacon. Okay? And Paul makes it very clear to Timothy, before he chooses deacons, this person must first be proved, tested. Okay? So, first principle is ensure, before we seek the Lord specifically in service, ensure that we are faithfully serving the Lord in any area the Lord has clearly said we're to be involved in. A deacon has to be proved, has to be tested. You know, the best way to test is to get the person to do. You know, when you genuinely serve the Lord, you don't need people to tell you, number one. Number two, you keep doing it, and people can see your life. I'm very clear of that, because when someone is faithfully serving the Lord, you know that person. Yes? Yeah? That's a principle and pattern of Scripture. And I'm thankful we are faithful servants. I'm sure all of us would have done something for the Lord. But you know, God says, if you want to seek the Lord in the specifics of your service, God says, the person must be proved and tested. So what do we do? Ensure that we are actively serving the Lord faithfully in one area of our life. Because the principle comes back again. If we cannot be faithful in the small things, how can God show us a ministry of our own? God cannot. And therefore, we need to rise and say, God, I surrender. I want to be useful to you, Lord. I want to be faithful to whatever you ask me to do. Okay? So ensure that you're faithfully serving in one area or any area. The VBS is coming. The UCAM is coming. Christmas is coming. Outreach is coming. I can tell you, as far as God is concerned, we need to be an active church. And that's why we need everyone involved. There's always an area to serve. And you know, at least in my heart, I don't force people to serve because we need to serve out of love. I'm thankful that some people say, Brother Pastor, I'll do it. Or you say, well, I'll do it anyway because although I'm busy, I'll try. That's fine, you know, and I'm thankful for that. But maybe move towards the heart. Say, God, I'll do anything for you. I'll be faithful at that. All right? Number two, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. This is a very important principle in seeking the specifics of service, of where God wants us to serve. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible says, I won't read through the whole thing, but I just read through a part which is very significant. Because after Isaiah has had an experience with God, in the Old Testament here, I just want to make a clarification. Not all of us will go through what Isaiah have gone through. But at least in principle, we would have a time whereby God has spoken to our hearts. It may not be a big event, but God has spoken to our hearts about certain things. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lord, this has touched thy lips, thy iniquity is purged, and thy sin is purged. Taken away, thy sin is purged. In verse 8, also I heard, Isaiah said he heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? That was a question. That was, if I would like to say, I wouldn't say it's a redundant question. I believe it's a pattern of question that God put in the Bible that is relevant for us today. Who was in the presence of God during that time? Huh? Isaiah, right? There was only one person there. And God said, who's going to go for us? Ah, I wonder, who's going to go for us? I wonder, who's going to go for us? It's like, you know what Isaiah could have done? Who's going to go for us? I believe God is saying this today as well. Who's going to go for us? Who's going to do that for us? I have a mission. I have something that I want people to do, but who's going to go for us? You know, consistent with God's character, God gives us that free will. Who's going to go for us? And the important principle we need to learn when we're seeking the specifics of service is this. Isaiah said, "Here, my Lord, send me." God asked a general question. General question. Isaiah volunteered. I'll be it. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. We need to have a heart of complete submission in asking the Lord, what would thou have me to do? I want to notice that God did not tell Isaiah what to do until he volunteered. And this is a very, 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 very important principle of Scripture. God will not reveal specifically what you are supposed to do unless you take a step of faith and say, "Here, my Lord, send me." I thought I was supposed to be an evangelist. I've never thought of pastoring a church. I thought I was supposed to go elsewhere, and God says, "Well, I have a different plan." We have Russell also. He's shared his testimony before. He wants to be a missionary aviator because he drives a plane. He wants to work in the Fiji Islands, you know, EG Islands, flying and sending things to
sending to China. It's funny to me.
And God has a sense of humor. But in seeking the specifics of God's service, Ambassador Baptist Church members, listen, God will not show you until you're willing to volunteer. That's expressly taught in Scripture. What would thou have me to do? Paul says, Acts chapter 9, what would thou have me to do? Paul already surrendered. And if you check in Acts chapter 9 all the way, there was no mention of how God told Paul what he's supposed to do. Paul told God told Ananias, he's going to be someone who will bear my voice to the Gentiles. But you know what? Paul never knew that until much later. When he was rejected by all the Christians, God put him to the country of Arabia for 3 years, Galatians chapter 1, whereby he had one-on-one with the Lord Jesus, and that's where Jesus taught him this, what he's supposed to do. And that's why Paul was on fire for God. Okay? Any questions there? Does that throw your thinking a bit? That's what the Scriptures teach. As a church, if we seek the Lord first, we go by what the Lord says, not by what we want. It's a hard thing because as human beings, we're proud. We just want to do what we want. We don't want to be committed to something that we don't have a heart for. Yes, but God says, you're not committed to the thing. You're committed to me. Amen? You're committed to Christ. And if you're committed to Christ, then you serve Him in what He tells us to do. There was one, I was in tears as I was read that, and I think it's very, very true of Singaporeans. This person was saying this, it's the first duty of every soul not to find its freedom, but to find its master. He's a Christian. I think it was written in the Daily Bread. It's the first duty of every soul not to want their own freedom to do things, but to first find their master. And when you find your master, he will set you free. Amen? Does it make sense? And that's so important, Christians. If you really want to know where God wants you to serve specifically, ensure that you have a life of faithfulness, and then moving on, say, "God, whatever you want me to do." You know, that was exactly what my pastor taught me. I said, "Lord, I surrender to the mission field." My pastor told me, "Brother Johnny, don't do that. Tell God, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do." And that's so important. Any questions? Any questions? All right, that's just straight up from the Scriptures. Okay? Notice that God did not tell Isaiah what to do until he volunteered. Similarly, God will not tell or show us his will until we have verbally, obviously come to the Lord and say, "I will do what he says, irregardless of the cost." No, Brother Johnny, just hard. But please remember, whoever God calls, God's entire arsenal of power is behind him. Amen? All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. I'm behind you all the way, with you all the way, in you all the way. Just go and do what I tell you to do, but just follow what I say. That's what God says. Okay? Right? So it's so important. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. That's what God says. And you know, God doesn't call us to do something that he won't back us up. Amen? He will always be there. God's not going to plant an Bethel Baptist Church without, you know, our dependency is on God. Please understand, it's not on Brother Johnny, it's not on anyone else, it's on God, on Christ alone. Whatever finances we have, whatever missions we have, whatever people is going to come. Yesterday, I had an SMS from someone who says, someone who is like, will never come to church, say, he wants to come to church. I don't know whether he's going to come, but you know what? It's exciting that God is moving in people's hearts still to join his church and to be able to be followed and grow. Okay? So, any questions? Okay, the next one is seeking specifics. Is in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4. Let's turn there. This is especially useful for, I hope all of us will take this, because at some time or another, you will need to ask God for specifics. And so in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4, this was, now, I'll just read verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, and which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered, they served the Lord, they ministered to the Lord, verse 2, and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In this principle, we see that as Paul and Barnabas, guess what? If you read Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 12, Paul has been very busy. He hasn't been just waiting on God to call me. No, he has been busy. In fact, he just finished his teaching tour in Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and 12. He just finished his teaching tour there. And look at verse number 25 in chapter 12. And when Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, when they had fulfilled their ministry, oh, that God has convicted my heart about this. I need to fulfill my ministry in ambassador before I move on. For me. And Christians, God's not going to move you to another ministry until you have fulfilled what God's supposed, what you're supposed to do. Does it make sense? And that's a very important principle. If you're asking for God for specifics of your service, you need to ask yourself, have I been faithful in my previous one? Have I finished it? Remember what Paul told Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As a pastor, you need to do full proof. You need to make sure in every area you've covered the ground, you do all you can. Make full proof of your ministry. Have you finished and fulfilled your ministry where you are? Wrap it up nicely. And then God will call us to another. Because you see, God, unless God is very clear in sending someone else to take your place, we need to stay where we are. And it's something that we need to understand. When we talk about specific of service, continue your service as you seek the Lord. Because in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, Paul is just ministering to the Lord still. And it's very important. As you are seeking the Lord, you should still be continuing in your service. Some people say, no, I'm going to take a break. No, you don't. That's not the pattern of Scripture. Unless it's someone else. You see, God's ministry will go. We are not. We although we anchor the ministry, we are not the we are not supposed to be the one that will say, we are there, the ministry go on. If we're not there, the ministry don't go on. We cannot do that. Man, that's why we're meeting on Sundays to start training, so that if I die in a car accident, many times I feel very sleepy when I drive. But you know what? If something happens, ambassador still goes on, because it's not Johnny's church, it's Christ's church. And there are men here who can take on this. I'll take on the baton and I'll go. Baton. Okay, I'll take on the baton in Singapore and go. You know? It's not Johnny's. It's every man's. It's Christ's church. And we are supposed to be, he's our master. We're supposed to follow him. Anyone should be able to preach. Having said that, I'll probably do a roster now. You know? Everyone should be able to say, but Brother Johnny, I'll do that. Because we're all part and parcel of the ministry. We need to be serving God as we are looking for his will. Okay? The next point, speak to the authorities which God has placed over you. And that's so important. Speak to the authorities over you, your parents, your pastors, your youth workers, godly Christians. Okay? You want to serve God? Please don't ask your unsafe friend. Oh, I feel like serving God. What should I do? I'm not going to give you good advice, okay? Speak to authorities, okay? I think I jumped one, right? Now, seek counsel regarding what you believe the Lord wants you to do, okay? Speak to authorities over you. Search through the scriptures. Why? Psalm 119:105 says what? What God gives is light. Okay, that word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. Seek God's guidance through God's word. Okay, through prayer and careful observation of the Lord's moving, you find that God is moving in a certain direction. Say, I think God wants to send missionaries. God, I think I can just volunteer for a short-term mission trip and see what God wants us. That was what me and my wife did. After God called us, he said, well, we don't know whether it's going to be a missionary or evangelist or whatever. And we felt God wanted us to be a missionary family to go somewhere. We went to KL, we went to Malacca. And the thing that impressed me, God, the needs are everywhere. So how? And God says, I want you to. And thank God, September of 2002, I think a group of people came to me and said, I think God wants you to be this. And you know what? The confirmation wasn't what I wanted, was what God's people. I saw that as parallel to Acts chapter 13, when the Holy Spirit spoke to the church, set this person apart for this. Okay? So speak to people around. And can I say this? Don't seek counsel only from people that you know will agree with you. Hint, hint. It's so easy. I think I want to do this. I speak to this group of people that we're always talking to. Speak to other people. In any area, speak to people whom you know will actually give you a contrary view. And when you go to the person and they actually say, well, I think God's will for you. Whoa, okay, this person always is antagonistic towards me. But no, in this situation, he's being honest and he says, could be that God is just opening a door. It's so important, Christians. If you truly seek the Lord, even the people you seek counsel with must be God ordained. Parents are very important. They are the number one authority in the children's lives. Okay, in the children's lives. But you know, if you're a church member, also the pastor is also an authority whereby you can consult. Okay, I'm very clear, the pastor's job is never to direct unless you're in sin, then he'll direct you out. Other than that, God shows you a lot of signs through the Bible where you should go. Other godly Christians in the church, other godly people that you know that can give you counsel that will help you in the straight and narrow way. Okay? So in the specifics of service, okay? Then after you have gone through this whole thing, by faith, do the performance of it. Go ahead and just do it. I can tell you, you will never be 100%, for information, when you want to serve God in specifics, you will never have 100% confirmation. Never. If there's 100% confirmation, you don't need faith. God can make it clear, God can make it open. But even in your jobs, even in whatever you choose, there must be faith. Okay, any questions? Okay, just very quickly, I wanted to go through how we went through Ambassador Baptist Mission, how we started out there, but I won't because of time. But quickly, seeking the Lord when we have sinned against God. Let's turn to Luke 15, okay? For those who just came in, we'll just be quickly going through. We've gone through how to seek the Lord specifically in our service in Luke 15. Now we're going to how to seek the Lord when we have sinned, we have backslided. Luke 15, when we've gone away from the Lord. This will be especially useful if you feel God is speaking to you or if you feel that there's someone that you need to reach. Okay, this will be useful, how to seek the Lord again. Luke 15, the situation is we need to realize our backslidden condition, our non-service to the Lord situation, by not doing anything about it, but the Lord is impressing on our heart to return and to serve and do the first works. Okay, in Luke chapter 15, verse 13 to 22, the story of the prodigal son. Those are very, very good principles there. I just give you the points very quickly. In verse 13, number one, we need to identify where we are now from where we were and should be. In verse 13, you realize that this particular man ran away from his father, took all his riches, and went, the Bible says in verse 13, and he went out and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would faint have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself. As a person, if God is speaking to your heart and say, God, I need to come back to you. Number one, you need to identify where you are now. Because if you do not see the place that you are in, from God's perspective, you're not going to come back. If you do not see that, you know, personally, I need to repent every day of certain things. I need to identify every day where I am now. Well, Pastor, I'm not saying this just, but you know, it's true that sometimes in my mind I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have done that. Lord, this is where I am before you. I need to move forward here. And I'm actively in my mind, because God speaks to us, and I have to repent. But you need to identify where we are now from where we were and should be, okay? And then identify what we are doing now and what we should be doing. And sometimes we say, yeah, no, I shouldn't be. You know, it's important for us, okay, then what should you be doing? In biblical counseling, it's so important. Don't just say, oh, poor thing, you don't feel so bad. In biblical counseling, you don't go into feelings. You go into active activity, what the person needs to do. Because when you go into the feelings, you go into the flesh. When you go into the flesh, you go backwards. That's not what God wants us to do. When a person is not, for example, the person is not, maybe he has been stealing, and then you convince him, oh, he cries, not at all, don't feel so bad. What do you mean don't feel so bad? You ought to feel so bad because you need to repent. You know what? Be kind. And if a person is broken, don't judge him anymore. See, I'm glad that God is working in your heart. You know, the Bible teaches us to work. You know, you haven't been working for some time now, and that's why you're stealing. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Neutetic counseling. The Bible says you need to go and find a job. Go and work. As gentle as you can, lead him back to the straight and narrow way. Does that make sense? Okay? So in this situation, for us ourselves, we need to identify what we are doing now and what we should be doing. If you don't know, ask someone godly, ask someone to direct you. Okay? And in verse 14 and 16, identify also the things that God may be doing to point us back. You know, in verse 14 to 16, it's interesting. After this person have joined himself in verse 14, and when he has spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. What a coincidence, right? Right? It's a big coincidence, right? After he has spent everything, there arose a mighty famine in the land. That's not a coincidence. That's God. Sometimes God has to put things in our life to say, hey, I need to do something to get your attention to come back to me. Okay? A word to God that we don't have to go through those things. But you know what? Sometimes God has to do that because you know why? He loves us. He wants to bring us back. Okay? So identify what the Lord may be doing to bring us back. Because he was there was a mighty famine. He began to be in want. He began to feed swine. And no one gave unto him. Last time he had a father who gave him everything, right? Now no one gave to him. You say, what in the world am I doing here? All right? In point number three, right? For those who are wondering. And going on to verse 17. The Bible says, when he came to himself, repentance. You can know all that God is doing. You can identify where you're supposed to do. You can, unless we come to a place and say, what am I doing here? My father have more servants and they have more than me today. What in the world am I suffering this for? I need to arise and go. We need to repent. All right, we need to repent. We need to repent. There's an R there. Number two, verse 18, we need to return to the place where we should be. We need to be doing the first works. A Christian who have gone away, you know, the safest place to start is where you just left. Christians, when we fall, we don't go back to starting point. You just go back to where you left. If you left your Bible reading, get back to it. If you left your prayer, get back to it. If you left church, get back to it. If you left your service, get back to it. Just start where you're supposed to start. I say, no, I just start with God. No, go back to where God has. Unless hopefully we've not messed up like in sin and all that. That's a different story. But you know what? If you kind of like this prodigal son, let's go back to where God would have you to serve. All right? And then after that, quickly, reduce. I use the word reduce in verse 19. The prodigal son actually had to humble himself. He actually had to say in verse 19, verse 18, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, when we repent, there must be a humble spirit. You say, well, Father, last time you shouldn't have given me the money. You know, see like, what happened to me? Yeah, like, come back. Like. When you go down that track, we're not repentant and we're not humble. We need to say, God, I'm not worthy. Not worthy. I spoke to my pastor last time. I actually asked him this question. Pastor, what if something happens to your children and they go wayward? Oh, he answered, encouraged me. He says this. Number one, I will have to leave my pastorate. He said, number two, I will still find some other place of service to God in the church. He was such an example to me of what it means. He has to be humble, but you know, he still wants to serve God. Amen? It wasn't his problem. By the way, all three of his children is in full time. Missions. Backward places. Okay? For me, it's such an encouragement. So, we need to reduce ourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Sorry, that's James chapter 4. But 1 Peter 5 talk about humbling ourselves as well. Then after that, we also, we need to, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 20, we need to rise, okay? He went back to his father. Christians, don't allow pride to stop you from serving. After you've repented your mind, start moving forwards. Can you imagine his shame when you come back to his father? You know, a principle we have in ambassador, anyone who wants to come back to ambassador, we must, number one, be willing to accept them back, number one. Number two, the person, of course, need to make right. Number three, after that, no one says anything about what he's done except the person dealing with him. If a person has fallen away and wants to come back, all of us should, like God the Father, with open arms, receive him back. But there might be one or two men or one or two ladies who work with that person to help the person back to where he should be, amen? And to know that, hey, we all fall, but you know, I'm glad you came back. We're going to love you and we're going to help you, but you know, you got to work with us, amen? So that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to arise and move forward. That's what the prodigal son did when we want to seek the Lord to come back. Okay, notice a few things about this return very quickly. God is still there where he always has been. In backsliding, God never leaves us. We do. Amen? God never leaves us when we backslide. We do. And when we come back, God is always where he's always been. Okay, number one. Number two, God is waiting for our return. Number three, God is always full of compassion and reception. Number four, God will always accept us the way we are as a local church when we see Christians who have backslided but earnestly seeking to return to God with a clearly repentant heart. Then according to the scriptures, we are to receive the brother or the sister. That's just what God says. Okay, and now verse 8, point number 8, we need to repeat our repentance to the Father, meaning when we come back, not to the Father, but you know, whatever we have decided in our mind, I'm sorry I shouldn't have done that. We should come to the person and say, look, God has asked me to come back. I know. I remember when I went to the Pentecostal movement and I called I wanted a transfer from the Independent Baptist Church to the Pentecostal movement. Of course, my pastor said, I'm sorry. He wasn't very direct. He said, I'm sorry, you can't do that, you know, because it's not like faith. You know what? God woke in my heart, and the first thing I did, no one told me to do. I called my deacons and I apologized. I'm sorry that I was such a, you know, would you accept me back? Said, of course. You know, that was my experience. We had to repeat. You know why? Because in a day and age whereby we all want our ego, God says, I want your humility. You need to be willing to say, I'm sorry, I have blew it. Would you accept me back? I believe this is a so clear principle of scripture. You know, when we go on that plane, two persons are humble. The person going forward and the person receiving you. Does that make sense? Oh, it's so humbling for a church that God would do that in a church to allow us to receive someone back. Okay? So, in Luke chapter 15, verse 22, you look at, what did the father do? After the son came back, the father said to his son, bring forth the best robe. No, in verse 22, the first word of the verse is what? But the father said, look, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And then bring thither the fatted calf and kill, let us eat and be merry. This father is crazy, right? No. You know why? He is just so glad he came back. And you know what? Once you come back to God, God restores to us full son privileges. But you know what we need to do? We need to receive the grace. You know what we tend to do? No. I'm very paiseh. I shouldn't have done it. Never mind. I don't want this. You know what? Receive what God is giving to you. It's so important for your restoration. And Christians, can I say this? When someone has done something that is wrong, has come back, you will say nothing about that to anyone else after that. Or as pastor, I will deal with you very firmly. Because when a person wants to come back to God, please don't do anything to stop them. Please protect their reputation as much as you can. Please help them, okay? If a person destroys their own reputation, there's nothing we can do. It's for all to see. But you know what? If a person is private sin, is coming back, let's just help that person back. Let's just help the person move back. All right? And I believe the Bible says, he that covers a sin showeth love. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's what we need to practice. That's what God shows us. Okay? And point number 10, we need to remain where the Lord has brought us back. Don't go back again into the far country. Stay where you are. All right? Okay, any questions? Okay, very quickly, I'll just finish up this one, seeking the Lord in salvation. Okay, there are not many people who are seeking the Lord in salvation. There's only one instance whereby this rich young ruler who came, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? In Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Okay, not many people will seek God in salvation. Not many people. Okay, the Lord Jesus is the one going out to find lost sheep. Because the lost doesn't want anything to do with Christ. Okay, whose job is it to seek the lost today? Whose job is it to seek the lost today? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon me, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's a direct imperative command. Every believer, God has given us the Holy Spirit. Our job is to go and seek and save the lost. We cannot save the lost, we can seek the lost sheep. Okay? And Christians are supposed to go seeking the Lord in salvation. When a person actually comes to Christ, you know, I'd like to say this, they need someone to guide them. And that's why, as a church, we need to be a discipling church. Every one of us being involved in touching someone, reaching someone for Christ. If we just one person take one, our church will double next year. And that person will grow. And then these two train to disciple two more. And it's so important. And that's what we're moving towards. Man, as we meet on Sundays, what we want to do, we want to instill and train, empower, so that God will move in our hearts to be able to take someone under our wing to guide that person to growth. Okay? Okay, any questions? Lastly, seeking the Lord as a church, just very quickly, Acts chapter 2, verse 23 to 31. You can read there. I'll just give you the points. Firstly, we need to identify ourselves as a church. When we seek the Lord, there must be no schisms. We all must be as one. I'll just read in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, when they came to our own company, you know, the apostles were being threatened. It's, if you do this again, we're going to put you in prison and we're going to kill you. All right, they went back and they went to their own company. As a church, when we seek God, we must be one. We must be one. Let's turn to Judges chapter 6 and verse 16. Judges chapter 6. This is a church verse. Judges chapter 6. I mean the principle. Judges chapter 6 and verse 16. I'll just read. Let's read together. This was what God told Gideon as he prepared to face the Midianites. Okay? In Judges 6, verse 16, let's read together, all right, for those who are there. Ready? One, two, go. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Okay? God told Gideon, I will be with you as you face the Midianites, and as a whole group, you will smite the Midianites as one man. The principle of one man. In other words, it's a concentrated force at one point, and when you hit the Midianites, Gideon, I will be with you, and you will strike them as one man. When I see you as a whole group, I see you as one man, one person with one motive, one aim, one power, one unity, one doctrine, one truth. You're going to strike the entire Midianite camp with one man. As a church, we need to be one man. We need to be in line with one man. When God looks down from heaven, he must see Ambassador Baptist Church as one man, one person united with one purpose to storm the gates of hell and bring people out. There's a principle of one man. Till we all come to a unity of the truth, Ephesians chapter 4. That's the purpose of all these lessons. God wants to strike the gates of hell, to bring up people as one man. But you know what? God can't add if we're dividing or if we're subtracting. God can multiply if we're dividing. We all are different. We all have our personalities. But you know, let's put all this aside. Let's focus on what God wants us doing. Let's do it. Okay? We need to identify ourselves as one man, one person. Okay? Number two, in verse 24, we need to pray as one. So Friday nights are so important. We pray as one. God needs to hear the prayers of God's people as one. Okay? Number three, we need to resolve as one man to do the will of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, when all of them say, God grant us the power that with boldness we may preach. You know what? The Bible says in verse 30, the whole place was shaken. And everyone preached the word of God with boldness. Would to God that everyone that steps out of here will be an active witness for Christ, boldly proclaiming Christ. Okay? So that's any questions? Well, at least we finished this one. Any questions? I just want to, just very quickly, all right, I know. I didn't want to give you all this one first, because otherwise you'll be reading it through. What I have here, last week we talked about the advanced medical. I'll just pass it to everyone, just take one. And I probably won't go into a lot of detail, but I did. And the question is, should we be a witness to sign on an AMD document? Okay? And so my suggestion is, because of time, I suggest strongly that you go and read it. But I'll just give you one verse first. Ezekiel 44, verse 23. Can we turn there? Next week, we just spend 5 to 10 minutes, okay, just on this, so that then we'll move on to the next one already. In Ezekiel 44, verse 23. Ezekiel 44, verse 23. This is the principle for everyone who will be a Sunday school teacher, who will be a pastor, who will be someone who will teach. And this is the principle that God gives to us. Let's read together. Ezekiel 44, 23. Ready? 1, 2, go. That they shall teach my people the difference between the profane, holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. God wants us to discern between the holy and the profane, and cause us to discern between the unclean and the clean. Can I say in every situation to God? In every situation of life to God, there is a clean, there is an unclean. Because His eyes is able to sieve it out. Our job is to find out what He says and follow what He thinks is clean or unclean. Does that make sense? And my job as pastor is to show you how to do that. That's why in certain things, I'll tell you that's unclean. If you're stealing, it's unclean. That's very clear. You're not supposed to steal. Okay? But you know, in certain things that may need quite a little bit more, God says, I'm not only to teach you what is right and wrong, but I'm also to teach you how to discern between the clean and unclean. And so, I'll just read the introduction. I suggest you go home, take a read. I've put down, you can search the internet as well. I've taken from the MOH website. Seems to me the AMD document itself suggests that a person is not dead. A person is not dead yet. And you are withdrawing the treatment. Just think about that for a while. If you read through the documents, you realize, because their definition of terminal illness, I'm just taking from MOH website, is defined as an incurable condition caused by injury or disease from which there is no reasonable prospect of temporary or permanent recovery. For such condition, death is imminent. Even if extraordinary life-sustaining measures were used, these measures will only serve to postpone the moment of death for the patient. That means the person is not dead yet. And we need to ask ourselves, what is God's position on that? Yes. Understand? Yes. But the decision of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a decision of King Nebuchadnezzar. We ought to obey God rather than man. God is a giver of life.
Yeah, but some doctors in the head, they don't understand this.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fire. That's why I say you need to be prepared for the consequences. Many Christians are not prepared for the consequences of following Christ. That's why they back off from doing the right thing. Okay? Think through. It's very clear for me right now what you should do, but I want you to think through too. I've actually wanted to go through it, but because of time, I won't go through. There comes a time, let's start in Daniel chapter 6. He's supposed to pray to the king for 1 month. What did he do? He's under the king's authority, right? He made a secular decision. There was a secular decision that was made. What did Daniel do? Again? Yeah, same thing. Just following Christ. Yeah. So in this situation, I want to say that this AMD one is probably very confined to health professionals, but it may face us personally in our families. that I actually have an incurable disease, and my children and I will have a decision to make. Oh, would to God I don't have that. God, I want to be like George Miller, preach one day, and next day just die and go. Don't have to worry about that. But you know what? Sometimes this is not reality. Sometimes we do face a prospect of extended pain, but no, the person is not dead yet. It's a different thing. If the person is dead, they resuscitate. Eh? If you're dead already, but you go and put a respiratory and it lasts for 20 years, that's a different thing, I think. But you know what? The person is dead. Okay? So, I will go through this because it's very frightening for young Christians. But I want to take us through the thinking process so that we know we are a Seek the Lord First community. And it could be God may be calling some of us to follow Christ so much that for the first time we'll realize what it means to carry the cross. And if God were to ask us, oh God, help us, give us the strength to do that. I've done that before in the army, workplace. But unless we're willing to carry the cross, we will not be foolproof. Yes. Head boss meaning what? Yeah, we follow the master as we follow Christ. If what the master tells us is contrary to what our head master tells us, Christ, we are not to obey him. If your boss asks you to steal, no. Of course, you won't do it. So, but if a master tells you anything within, even though it's unreasonable, you must understand when Paul gave the instruction to the slaves, the masters weren't very nice to the slaves. But Paul says, look, slave, because you're a Christian, obey your master anyway. If he makes you work 23 hours a day, do it to the best of your ability too, because you serve Christ. But God then tells the masters, you master, you better be careful how you treat the slave. You know, I've learned one thing about the Bible. God is very balanced. God is very balanced. He will tell the slave, you follow your master as best as you can, no matter how unreasonable is it. As long as he don't tell you to sin, you follow him because your master is in heaven. Okay? Now, but God then tells the master, you jolly well treat your slave well. Because your master is in heaven, and you, the way you treat your slave will be the way I treat you. Does that make sense? You see, the responsibility is not outside. The responsibility is in our heart before God. The Bible says, the wicked borroweth and repayeth not. Yes? The book of Proverbs. But you know what the Bible says? No, sorry. Before that. Give to those that ask of you. That's what God says. Give to those that ask of you. Someone asks you, give. But the Bible also says, the wicked borroweth and repayeth not. You know what that means? God says the responsibility, if someone asks you, give. Okay? But God gives the instruction to the other person, if you say you're going to borrow, you return because you are wicked if you don't. So God puts responsibilities on both. Does that make sense? So all we need to do, find out what God wants us to do and just do it. And leave the consequences to God. I've seen it again and again. When we do that, God takes care of the consequences. He always will. God will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Like I share it with you with my rifle thing. This Inche was bent. You know, there was an ego fight between the two officers and all that. In the end, I went scot-free. I can only thank my Heavenly Father for protecting me because I chose to follow what did. Does it make sense? We need to come to a place whereby following Christ in His Word is number one priority. If God will prepare our hearts to go as we go to the new place, and we have everyone say, Lord, I will follow You first of all, and I will follow Christ, how He followed Christ, God, the Father, to the point of death. Our obedience needs to be unto death. You know what that means? That requires us to reevaluate how our Christian life, do we still think this is because it's convenient? Or do we do things because we are committed to the very Savior who loves us? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I know the time has run out, but thank You for the sincere questions that have been brought up. Oh God, our heart is not to put anyone down. Our heart is not to judge. But God, we know we need to be humble because all of us will be exposed to this. And it's not about you and me. It's about You and us as a church. That when we stand before You, Lord, we must be willing to give an account of how we have learned Your Word. And how You want us to live Your Word in this world. Oh God, there are many people who are just ignoring your word now. Oh God, I pray that as Ambassador Baptist Church, we will not be in the position to ignore your word. That God, we will humbly say, if this is what my master said, if this is what Jesus, the Savior of this world who saved my soul said, I will do it because I love him. And God, I pray that you will burn this fire and zeal in our hearts, that we will seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things that you promise will be added unto us. God, that if we are risen with Christ, we will seek those things which are above. Colossians 3 verse 1. That we might know, Lord, that you are in us and we in you. Oh God, help us to abide in you. I pray for every believer now that might be struggling, Lord, with what we've talked about. I'm asking you, Father, to strengthen us. Give us much grace and strength to do your will. Father, we are willing, but we are weak. Help us, Lord. Help us in our unbelief, that we might take small steps of faith. I pray that this will be an encouragement to everyone, Lord, to move forward for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll spend 10 minutes next.